Thank you. Oh, I brought them. Okay. We are accused of being Marsonists. Marsonists. We're Martians. M-A-R-C-I-O-N-I-S-M. Marsonism. There's a guy that wrote a great big huge, he's a scholar guy, wrote a great big huge thing about how Paul, does Jesus end up marginalized to make room for Paul? In other words, is Jesus shrunk down to just nothing in order for Paul to present his teachings? And a lot of stuff. And we are quoted in here. Such an honor. And he quotes a sermon in here without my permission. But oh well, that's okay in an educational field. And says that Pastor Paulson boldly dismisses the "What Would Jesus Do" bracelets as heretical. Heretical. Is that right? Heretical. See, Pastor Paulson explains why this bracelet is heretical. It is wrong to teach anything that Jesus taught. When have I ever said that? See, they missed the whole point. But anyway, I was just kind of curious what Sam Filson found that. So I thought I'd look up what this is. It's called Marsonianism. Martianism, I suppose. I don't know. It's an early Christian, a dualist belief that originates in the teachings of Martian of Sinope. See? Around the year 144. And you thought I wasn't that old. Marcion affirmed Jesus Christ as a Savior sent by God and Paul his chief apostle, but he rejected the Hebrew Bible and Yahweh. Marcionists believe that the wrathful Hebrew God was a separate and lower entity than the all-forgiving God of the New Testament, two gods. This belief was in some way similar to Gnostic Christian theology. Marcionism and Notabed by it's against the church, against the Catholic Church. That's what they're fighting over here back in those days. So anyway, nobody's ever said anything about two separate gods, and nobody said anything about two separate bodies of Christ either, which is another accusation today's people make towards somebody preaching Paul, because it teaches a different teaching than the gospel. So there has to be a different body of Christ and what Jesus was talking about in the Gospels and early Acts. And they say, well, then we believe that, or people that teach Paul believe that there were two bodies of Christ. Well, we don't believe that. We don't teach that. So anyway, it's just somebody trying to get away from the simplicity of Christ and the obvious, like we said this morning. I would like to sit down with that guy, and I bet you we'd find out that he's not a King James guy. That's a given, because they have to go to the Greek to show things and different Bibles and stuff. Goes to John Mark Arthur, who hates King James, and teaches that it wasn't the blood that did anything, but it was the death of Christ. So John MacArthur is a heretic right off the bat. So, if a guy wants to get into that and talk to him, but it won't do any good. We're not in the same foundation of authority. So what good would it do? Right? You end up talking about the King James Bible. But anyway, that's just how they do these kind of things. So now this morning, this is number 6 in understanding the King James Bible, number 6. And we're going to look at, we read a lot of verses this morning, went through quickly. That is pretty convincing that we're to look to Paul for our teachings of Jesus. See, that's the part they miss. And I look back at my early years of talking about Paul, I may not have said the risen Christ enough. That's very possible. But we're following Paul's teachings. Well, we are. They're just teachings of the risen Christ. So I guess it's something to watch for, how you learn how to talk about these things. And we saw enough verses this morning to really be convinced, I would think, I mean, just verse after verse, that it talks about Paul, talks about the things that he taught, talks about the risen Christ, it talks about the Jesus Christ that, as according to the mystery, which is what Paul was given. So I thought what we would do, which is what we were supposed to do this morning, but we didn't have time. I was nice. I quit instead of doing my normal, I'll get it in if I have to thing. We thought we'd do it tonight. And let's go to 2 Timothy. What we're looking at here tonight is the assurance of something. Now, we know that there's assurance of one's salvation, eternal security, we call it. OSAS, once saved, always saved. We believe that. That's not hard to understand and believe. And that's eternal security. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, and he's talking to Timothy, and he says here in verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14, because he's talking about the, in verse 10, thou hast fully known my doctrine and this type of persecution, afflictions, and the whole thing. And he says in verse 12 that you will suffer persecution. And he says in verse 13, their evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But he says in verse 14, which is good for us to hear, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Okay, we've learned, we're learning Paul's doctrine. We're learning what it is the risen Christ wants to teach to us. Is that not it? 2 Timothy, is that what I said? 2 Timothy? 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy, what I said, chapter 2 maybe? Well, let's start over. Good evening! And how are you tonight? Glad to see you're all here on time. In fact, we've been starting early. Chapter 3, now this is where I learned how to cut out some video. To learn how to do that, I guess. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy, King James Bible. There we got it. We'll go back. And Paul is just getting done talking to Timothy about he fully knows his doctrine of verse 10. He's learned these things. Verse 11, you're going to have persecutions and afflictions. Verse 12, you're going to learn to follow Paul, the risen Christ. You're going to suffer persecution. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Things are bleak. I think they probably had an election coming up too in a couple days, and they were going to have a terrible... not election, but I'm just not doing well here so far. An inauguration coming up here pretty soon. And things are looking bleak. But he says in verse 14, we're on chapter 2, King James, right? 2 Timothy. Okay, here we go. Verse 14. Chapter 3. We might just delete this whole video No, let's just let it go. They got to know who we are here, you know. This is who we is at this place. Bear with us, yes, you know. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and he's talking about his things that Paul has taught him, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Scriptures. Now, I wish we could say that right there. I wish we could say as a parent that we have taught our kids from day one about Paul and the risen Christ, taught them about the Old Testament and the Gospels and what Jesus did for the Jews and to the Jews and of the Great Commission, how we got into Paul and the risen Savior. And kids, here's what you need to have is the risen. I wish we had done that since they were children, and I'm sure we all wish that. But Timothy here, if we go back to chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, King James Bible, we see that he was, he learned from somebody. And he says in verse 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. So Timothy has assurance that he learned these things from Paul, of course, spiritual son, of course. And he says in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, couldn't trip him up, solid faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, according to Scorby, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So Timothy learned what he needed to learn from Paul. He learned it from his grandmother, and he learned it from his mother. That's good. I wish we could all say something like that. Look at verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. That goes back to Paul's early ministry when he first sees Timothy, and he does lay his hands on people in those days, and that's what he was given to him. So we go back to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, and we see here that we need to look at that verse and consider who we have learned these things from. Now, we haven't learned about Paul or the risen Savior or the King James issue as such, all these things, from professors, modern pastors, authors, media personalities. None of those people preach this kind of material. If we are to look at these modern books that explain the tribulation, they say all the reasons America went the way America has gone. They all got good ideas and probably very truthful about it. But very few, if any, have the truth for the solution. They really don't. They put out a lie about a Jesus and they take him back to the Great Commission stuff. And I think that's a serious problem because all these people that read these books and get into these books, they're all part of the modern Christian scene. They're into the modern music. They're into all the things that are different, that are changing. That tells me something right there. So we don't do that. We don't get our teachings from the Baptist manual. We don't, from a parental standpoint, we haven't even been taught this stuff ourselves. But it's always been in this Bible, and it's been there. So our assurance is not only from the fact that it's a King James Bible, which is solid assurance. It's from rightly dividing because we understand what rightly dividing says and does within that Bible. We also know that we learned it from Paul. So we have solid confidence on that. We realize that from looking at what Paul has taught, we ought to have an assurance that we have not the Jesus that he's worried that we would get. We ought to be able to realize and have the assurance that we have received the correct Jesus as compared to another Jesus that Paul warns about, and they can receive another Jesus. We don't want to get into that situation here. So look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. He's talking about the suffering things. Nevertheless, we've been challenged. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Believe it. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And we sing that. So we ought to have assurance based on Paul. Well, we based on the risen Christ, of course. But where would we have heard about the resurrection and the risen Christ other than from Paul? Other than from a rightly divided King James Bible. That's why we say, or I say, we actually teach beyond Paul here, which is the King James Bible. Paul is in the King James Bible. So is the Great Commission. So is the Gospels. So is the Old Testament. So is the Tribulation. But we know from Paul's teachings and what Paul has written in there that we are believing in the right Jesus, the correct Jesus, based on his teachings. So that's a strong assurance. Let's look at Romans chapter 16. So we're looking at assurance tonight based on Paul. If these people don't want to follow what Paul teaches, then these are the folks that we have a hard time showing them anything because they don't want to listen. And they've rejected the very apostle that teaches them, the only one that teaches them about the risen Christ. Romans 16. Here's another verse for assurance that we're on the right trail here. Romans 16, verse 25, King James Bible. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept... We did this verse this morning. We ought to be able to look at that verse and get the assurance that what we're talking about here is, yes, we need to learn about the risen Christ, and this is what Paul is talking about here, and we'll be established by that, based on this verse. That's a good verse. So there's where our assurance is coming from. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, King James Bible. And it comes before 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Now this is a verse that we are assured of, we ought to be assured, that when we talk about Timothy and Titus teachings in here, we are doing right. We're talking the right thing. He says in 1 Corinthians 4, 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, the risen Savior, be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So we see there that Timothy's teachings from Paul are supposed to be taught in church. So we have an assurance here, we ought to have an assurance here, that I'm not just a grump. I'm not just a legalistic old pastor trying to lord my faith over you, that you ought not dress this way, you ought not talk this way, you ought to quit lying if at all possible, and you know, all the things that Timothy teaches. And Timothy and Titus teach, and Titus in chapter 2 says, that's sound doctrine. Now, just in case anybody gets a hold of this sermon out there in Paul land, I'll say it again, that most Paul churches, Paul-following churches, have the word grace in their title, and that's fine. This is a dispensation of grace, but they will not get into Timothy and Titus. That tells those ladies that are in that church to quit doing what they're doing in the town, in their careers. That those sections tell people all sorts of things that they do not want to hear, because it's called standards. It's called legalism in most cases. It's called hating women. It's called hating men. It's called having no fun. It's called or shooting for having fun. Or it's called running my kids away because you teach them things like that. No, that's just what Paul says is supposed to be taught. So we ought to have an assurance that if we ever read and get into Timothy and Titus, like I said, part 3 modesty coming up, it's going to be harder on us men than it will be on the ladies, maybe. That's okay. We have an assurance that Paul expects us to teach that. Now, it's not to become a Christian. It's because we're a Christian. So the grace is there that if you hear these things and you try them and you mess up, or you just can't do it. Because Paul fought that battle all the time. That is okay. God's not going to chastise you other than words if you read your Bible. And even that's very little if you really read or understand His love and His grace and His mercy. But don't forget that Paul teaches us that with the grace of what Jesus Christ has given to us must come also truth. So that has to be put in there. So we ought to have an assurance that what Paul teaches is right. And it should be taught in every church. Well, it's not taught in every church. Don't worry about any other church. Just worry about this one. If you get mad and quit, you're not going to be able to go anywhere else that's going to teach this in their church. Not around here. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Speaking of assurance, based on Paul's teachings. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed. How am I doing? Am I getting that right? Okay. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Well, we're not. Nor of me his prisoner. That's Paul. We have nothing to be ashamed of with Paul. So if we have nothing to be ashamed of, our assurance is in the fact that Paul is the man that we're supposed to be learning from. So we are. And we'll teach that to our children. Our children need to know King James Bible. They need to know what rightly dividing is. They need to know who Paul is. Well, they need to know who Jesus Christ is. They need to know all that He did in the Old Testament as well as the Gospels, which is still Old Testament. And then they also need to learn about Paul. And they do need to learn about the tribulation, because if they think they're going to ride out Paul and make it through this tribulation, they're in for a pretty heavy-duty bruising if that were to take place. And then I'll throw this in for Bunny Trail. They do need to learn about music, because music is the power that's dragging people into these modern churches. That's the power that's bringing them in. So anyway, 2 Timothy 1:8. Okay, so we have nothing to be ashamed of, so that's our assurance. We're strong knowing that we believe in Paul. What church do you go to? I've heard me do this before. Well, we go to, you know, well, what do you teach there? Well, we learn a lot about Paul. No, we have nothing to be ashamed of to tell people that we follow the risen Savior through the teachings of Paul. Simple as that. Anyway, let's go to Romans chapter 2. Assurance tonight. Solid assurance. Not just in our salvation, eternal security, but in the fact that following Paul is solid. Not just his doctrine, but his ways as well. Nothing to be ashamed of. We know we have the right Jesus, the right Christ. Romans chapter 2, verse 16 tells us that in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. That's Paul. That tells me without any shadow of doubt or whatever that phrase is, that I don't need to study the gospels to base my life on the gospels. My life will be judged based on works. So my works will be judged. In fact, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Actually, it's put there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For the longest time, I've heard pastors say, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, King James Bible, of course, verse 13. And it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And I've heard pastors say, well, that's your motive. What do you mean behind what it is that you're doing? Or that's whatever, and they come up with some different things. Near as I can tell, you know what that tells me? What sort it is? If it's Paul's work or not. Because Romans 2:16 says, I'm going to be judged. I mean, the judgment is going to take place based on Paul's gospel, Paul's teachings, Paul's gospel. So, do we have the God of peace? Do we have the real Jesus? Or do we have another Jesus? Have we received another one? Those things that Paul has taught us to do in our works, those are the things that are going to be judged in the works at the judgment seat of Christ based on what Paul taught. So if we're doing something that Paul says we ought not do, or we're not doing something that Paul says we ought to do, those are going to be the things that are going to burn or whatever. And I know there's a lot of people out there that have the life they have because, you know, we have grace and we have mercy, mostly grace, that we have to do what we have to do because the husband is sick or dying or has died, and we're all caught in just horrible earthly, worldly conditions. But that doesn't negate the fact that that particular thing, whatever it is you're caught up in doing, if it's what Paul says not to do, it's going to burn. That's just the way it is. That's why he says in Romans 2, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And a lost person will be judged by that because Paul tells a lost person how to be saved. We have assurance of that, without a doubt. We'll save that next comment. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have an assurance that studying through Paul, a rightly divided King James Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. Actually, verse 31. Okay, let's make a correction there. I can't make a correction there, so everybody remind me. 31, not 21. That Paul will show us a more excellent way. I caught that. That's pretty good. Right on cam, too. All right. Oh. Do you want it back? I mean, so, a more excellent way. A different way? No, not different. It's just more. There's more to it. And we can explain that one a little easier in Acts 18:26. Those kind of go together. A more excellent way. Acts 18:26 tells us that it's the what? Anybody know? Just right off the hand here. The way of God more perfectly. He says in Acts chapter 18, talking to this Apollos guy, and this home church family shows up, and they see that he was a man instructed in the way of the Lord. Verse 25. Verse 24 says he was an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures. He was born in Alexandria. There's a little sidelight there, but we won't bunny off into that thing. And he began to speak, look at verse 25, he says, taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. That's good. Who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. There it is again, see? That's what the Jews had to get a hold of. So anyway, this Apollos guy, he realizes now that the way of God more perfectly back in Chronicles, it defines it as finished, more complete. There's more to it. And that's what Paul is all about, is the risen Christ. All the things that are coming because of that. And that kind of ties into the more excellent way. It's not different, there's just more of it. More excellent. Now, let's look at a couple other things that we can stand on as assurance that we're solidly standing here right. People always say, well, then, see, you believe your church is right. No, I don't believe our church is right. I believe this Bible's right. I believe it's rightly divided. And I do believe that we're teaching the truth here. based on our Bible. Look at John chapter 6. Here's another reason that we can stand with assurance about Paul and the rightly divided Bible, the rightly divided word of truth being the gospel of our salvation, meaning the fact that that is the King James Bible. John chapter 6, we see here that Jesus was talking about the fact that He was going to do His Father's will. And this is the Father's will in verse 39. I guess I should say the number first before I read the verse, but John 6, verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Okay? Raise it up. Okay, we talked about this before. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So we see that the will of God was to get Jesus Christ to get people saved and for them to receive that inheritance. Jesus didn't lose it. And when He's raised up, so will we on our last day. It's last day. All sorts of application there. Now, mark there Colossians 1, 12 and 13. Because see, that was the will that Jesus was told by His Father to do. That's what He wanted Him to do. And if we go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, we will see that that's what Paul was given to do as well. What's the point of that? The point of that is for us to realize that what God told Jesus to do, Jesus passed that on to Paul. That ought to give us an assurance that Paul's message is what we need to be hearing. What's Paul's message about? Inheritance, reward at the judgment seat, and us being saved by the right Christ, the right Jesus. And that's in Colossians 1, verse 12 and verse 13. He talks about giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember, that's all that Jesus brought the Jews and the Gentiles. We're joint heirs. So that's one of the things based on our walk and our inheritance. Two different things there, different sermons there. And he also says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, there's our soul, there's our salvation, into the kingdom of His dear Son. So another point of assurance here is the fact that Paul is doing the same will that Jesus was told by God the Father to do. God told Jesus do this. Jesus told Paul. We got the same thing. So there's an assurance there. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Some more assurance tonight. Solid assurance. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Now, by the way, this is all assuming that the King James Bible is true. It's the Word of God. If it's not, then we're just really wasting a lot of money, a lot of effort, a lot of hassle. This is the Word of God. I believe this. This is exactly the way God wants it to be said. He says in verse 15 of Acts chapter 9, that Paul was chosen. This isn't something Paul came up with on his own. He was chosen. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. He's talking to Ananias, who didn't want to go visit him at all, because Paul was a Christian killer. He said, go to him, I've chosen him to be. So Paul really had no choice, or else he couldn't see the rest of his life. And his eyes were bad anyway, I believe, probably as a result of some of that. Chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. And it says, and kings, remember it's in Philippians, he goes into the palace, and the children of Israel. They can still hear this stuff. He was very concerned about them. Look at Acts chapter 13. Have you noticed a lot of these verses keep popping up? I mean, there's nothing new popping out here tonight. We've seen these verses before. Acts 13, verse 47. It says right there, for so hath the Lord commanded us. Well, you know what that means? The Lord commanded them. Okay? Verse 46, it says, we turn to the Gentiles. That was God's command to these guys, to Paul. I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified. So this is chosen of God. This is the command of God. This isn't something Paul came up with at all. Look at Acts 26. I believe this story to be true. It's not some fairy tale. It's not something you find in some Disneyland kind of a place. Verse 15, he says, and he's talking about his experience on the road. And he says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee." Paul was told to do this, told by the Lord Himself. And he's supposed to be a witness to the Gentiles. He had to be taken away from the Gentiles, it says in verse 17, because he was killing them. And to go back to them and be a witness to them. Look at Acts 28. Acts 28, verse 31. Paul was doing something we ought to be able to do. In verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God, sure. And teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, sure. With all confidence. That's assurance. Knowing that what you're saying, what you see in this Bible is right. That's true. Confidence in what Paul is teaching. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. This is assurance. Well, I'm pretty assured. I don't know how assured you really are. Because we don't mind giving grace every place as we go and things that we buy and things like that, but we're just afraid to pop out some truth in there. Ephesians 6, verse 20. Ephesians, King James Bible, chapter 6, verse 20. For which I'm an ambassador in bonds, always being hassled, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Not loudly, not jerkily, not offensively, although I'm sure he offended many people without trying. No point in trying. But he did speak boldly. So our assurance ought to give us the boldness, ought to give us the confidence in the fact that Paul is teaching us about the risen Christ. We need to realize that Timothy and Titus need to be taught in the church. We need to not be ashamed of Jesus Christ nor of Paul. Is that right? Nor of Paul? Did I say that? Okay. We ought to realize that our judgment seat will be based on what Paul's taught us in our day-to-day walk, our manner of life. It is a more excellent way. It's the way of God more perfectly. No doubt, no misgivings, no are you sure kind of stuff. And that we know whom? Now check that. The things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom. See, that's right. God knows grammar. Of whom thou hast, Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. We don't have another Jesus to worry about. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 17. That was a quick review. Acts chapter 17, just a couple more things here to have assurance of. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, what about people that don't believe? Well, they got a conscience. That's been seared. We know all that stuff's taking place. But Christ has assured us that he has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, why is that such a bit? See if I can find the verses. I'm kind of winging this thought here. I think it's in Ephesians. I think it's in Ephesians chapter 1. Yes, it is. Why is that such an important thing to believe? Because in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, one of the things Paul prays for people that put their belief in Christ is about the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, verse 19, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. That's pretty powerful. And set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So actually, if you want to think about it, Jesus Christ was set free. But He tells us that we're made free based on Christ. There's just a little thought there for you, but anyway. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. So when we die, we ought to have assurance based on the fact that we will be raised to be with Him. And you ought to be able to lay in your deathbed and lay there and thinking, well, I'm trusting what that Bible says. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. I have King James Bible. I realize what Paul has taught, and I'm standing confident. I'm laying here confidently, dying in pain or whatever, knowing that I believe my Bible for what it says, rightly divided, and I've got the assurance and the confidence that this is right. You may not have filled out a salvation card at a local invitation. You may not have had a proper baptism. I've never had a proper baptism, by the way. I want you all to know that. I think I've told you that. I was baptized once in a church that believed you had to be baptized to be saved. We denied that as a private baptism. Then we were baptized in another church because I was going to start a school. He found out I wasn't baptized scripturally, so he took me into somebody's... Us or just me? Both, okay. And made sure we were baptized privately again. Because he didn't want the church people to find out that the administrator of the school wasn't baptized scripturally, so he gave me another unscriptural baptism. So I really haven't been baptized scripturally yet. And that's the dunking. I was never big on that dunking thing anyway. And it'd be over backwards in the water. That's when you gag, because it goes up the nose, right? And they tell you to hold your and they go down. It's just silly stuff. And you come out like a wet t-shirt contest, and it's just wrong. So I just want you to know that that's the way I've been. What has that got to do with anything here? Where am I even at? Colossians 2:2. No, where am I at? What's going on here? Colossians 2:2? And what was I talking about? Okay, there we go. It happens way too much lately. It's just really probably the chocolate, I think, kids. Stay away from the chocolate. Or the gum. Could be the gum, too. The muscles in the mouth kind of brain, kind of weaken the brain. The thinker is gone, you know, kind of a deal. Okay, Colossians, why don't we get into chapter 2, and that's how I can find it. There we go. He's talking here that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Now, we've learned some understanding, more and more of it. Was it just given to us out of the blue? No, it wasn't, but it was in Paul's day. How do we explain that? He's given us a Bible. That which is perfect has come. Now, if we want to have some understanding, we got to get into this thing. We got to rightly divide it, and things are starting to fall into place. Part of our understanding is now knowing what Daniel talks about, meeting with Revelation, knowing what's coming. In the meantime, we got this dispensation of grace. That's a marvelous time. Yet he lets us see this other stuff. Marvelous. So there's a full assurance of understanding. He says riches of the full assurance of understanding. Boy, it's pretty hard to have a joy and this riches thing when we realize what's going on. I mean, really, we know what's going on more and more and more. That's where we have to maintain that peace and joy amongst it, which is going to get tougher. Let's look here at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Stay on track, and I'll try. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. For our gospel, chapter 1, verse 5, 1 Thessalonians, King James Bible, okay? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Semicolons, we pause there, pretty good pause. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So they had a testimony, and it showed that these guys had grown. Remember it says in... Down there in verse 9, for they themselves show us of what manner of entering we had unto you. Their lives show that Paul's teachings had gotten into their life. And their lives had changed. It showed them that. And verse 5 talks about the fact that we can have this assurance that the gospel they were teaching came to them not just in word, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. That's our King James Bible today. That King James Bible, the gospel of Paul, the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of God, Paul talks about, we can have assurance in that. That's the Word of God, King James Bible. Word of truth, rightly divided, gospel of our salvation. So we have assurance there. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And to note verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, we're supposed to comprehend in verse 18, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, goes beyond knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's pretty exciting. To know that God will fill us with what we learn out of that Bible. That's an assurance. That's good to be assured of. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's pretty good right there. That's a trust. That's an assurance that He knows better than we. He knows more than what we need. He knows to even work in our lives even more than we're seeking. Anyway, look at, I'm going to guess that's Philippians. We'll find out in a big flash here. Yep, it is. Philippians. Chapter 1. Verse 25. This is where Paul was talking about the fact that he'd rather go be with the Lord. But he says in verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. So where do we want to have to grow? Where do we want to have joy of faith? From Paul. He stayed down here so he could help us receive that. So we know where to go for that. That's an assurance. That's confidence. And then Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Talking about gain, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. To be in verse 9, he talks about being found in Him. That's good, because it's not of our righteousness that puts us in Him. But in verse 10, he also says that I may know Him. And that tells me that we can actually be in Him and still not know much about Him. And not know Him. Anyway, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Boy, that first part sounded good. That I may know Him. That's assurance, confidence there. And the power of His resurrection. Sure, there's some spiritual power in our lives. And then he says, and the fellowship of His sufferings. That means we're going to have some hard time to do that together. Then he says, being made conformable unto His death. Because that's what happens to us in due time. Now, last one, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's something else we can be assured of, knowing what we know about Paul's teachings of the risen Christ. That he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says in verse 1. And we've been here before. And he says there, this know also that in the last days, we're not in the last days. Last days is referenced quite often, the fact that that's the tribulation, just before Jesus comes back. So that's really good that we don't have to worry about this. Well, we're seeing with our understanding from reading Paul that we're starting to see these things more and more and more. So we don't have to worry about the fact that we're in the tribulation, that we are in those perilous times, but we see perilous times getting closer and closer. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's a hand gesture for everything, okay? I mean, but look at how much we do ourselves. I won't go there. Covetous. That's want in Greek. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. In other words, that's going to increase. Oh, what a horrible thought. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection. We see that taking place more and more. Mothers don't want the children they have. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures. And we're fighting that one, don't we? We got the money. We can buy pleasures that actually keep us from God. Or we'll turn our kids away from God in due time because the pleasures are sure a whole lot more fun than going down here. Or living to be a Christian. Or dressing like this. Or can't go here. Can't do that. That's no fun. Having a form of godliness, we know that's growing stronger and stronger because an increase in godliness comes about by what? Profane and vain babblings. That's right, wrongly dividing. anyway, but denying the power thereof from such, turn away. They're supposed to do that. Getting harder and harder. As it grows, we're supposed to turn away from more and more. We fight that battle all the time. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. That's happening all over the place. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We hear that all the time. Everybody knows what's wrong, but they sure don't know what's right. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But it says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. And if you get into a King James Bible, rightly divide that thing, you can see the folly of today's modern Christianity. You can see it there. It's as plain as day. So, we can be assured we know what's coming. But we can also be assured through the confidence of Paul that we can understand how to deal with it and have that joy and peace that we're supposed to have. But it's tough. It's tough stuff. But anyway, there you be. There's the assurance from Paul about having the risen Christ teachings, not the Great Commission teachings, but the risen Christ teachings only found in Paul's epistles. Not in Peter's, not in James, not in John, not in Jude, but in Paul's.